Hi, welcome to Reach Out America Radio. You are listening to a New York State of Mind we call Godstein, and we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I'm going to go ahead and try and get Carl Godstein back on the line. If you all would just bear with me 1 second, I'm going to play a little tune.
There you have it, folks. That's Madison Rising's version of the Star Spangled Banner. Head over to www.madisonrising.com for all your tour information and merchandise, etc., etc. You want to make sure you catch them guys live, www.madisonrising.com. And also search out Defend Freedom Tour 2016.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to A New York State of Mind. We're just having some technical difficulties, and I'm trying to get Carl Godstein, your host, back on the line. He'll be calling in a few minutes. So whatever callers that were on the line, feel free to call back. Same number. Actually, different number, it seems. If you're still listening in, it's 347. Yes, same number. 347-850-1243. Is the listen-in number, and if you want to talk, you can press 1. And in the meantime, I am trying to get Carl Godstein back on the line with us because his program is scheduled until 11 p.m. So I'm trying to get him back on, and I'm going to go ahead and play. Oh, I have a cute little tune for you. Hold on. Okay, if you are still listening in for A New York State line, we are definitely getting this situation fixed, and I don't want you to leave. And I'm just waiting for Carl to call back in, and he'll be able to start the program, and then we'll be able to get the guests back on. In the meantime, I'm going to play some music. I'm going to play the intro to A New York State of Mind again.
Holiday from the neighborhood. Have a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood, Hollywood. Me, I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Good evening, America, and thank you for listening tonight. I am your host, Robert, and...
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood, have a flight to Miami Beach, or to Hollywood, Hollywood. Me, I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Hey everyone, welcome to Reach Out America Radio, sponsored by World Integrity News Network. We're having technical difficulties. This program is A New York State of Mind with Carl Gottstein. I'm just waiting for him to call in. I suppose we had a really good program going on, and I suppose there was a couple of problems. So I just went ahead and started the program again, and I'm just waiting for the host to call in, and I can get this program going. Just going to play a little bit of music for you. Here you go.
We walk alone in the unknown. We live to win another victory. We are the young, dying sons. We live to change the face of history.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put on a tape of attorney Chris Ann Hall. She's been covering the Oregon incidents for months now, and she's a constitutional attorney, and it's about 9 minutes long, and I'm going to go ahead and play that so you can hear what she has to say about the situation in Oregon. Until we get our host back.
I'm Chris Ann Hall. I'm a constitutional attorney, author, educator, and talk show host. Let's talk about Oregon. Because it's not about the Hammonds. It's not about the Bundys. And it's time to take back the narrative. It's time to stop being directed and led by the media. It is time to stop being directed and led by the federal government's whims. It's time to know the facts. This is not about the Hammonds. This is not about the Bundys. This is about a federal government that is operating outside the supreme law of the land. The people are not acting lawlessly. It is the federal government that's acting lawlessly. The federal government has no authority to own any land outside Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says that the federal government's only authority to own land is 10 square miles for Washington, D.C., and the amount of land necessary to operate forts and ports at the permission of the states. So if the states don't want the forts and ports anymore, they have the authority to withdraw the permission. The only other section that someone could claim is Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, that deals with territory and then further expounds on the application of the ownership of land that we talked about in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Let's be very clear about this territory thing. Go read the Constitution.
Hey, Carl, are you back on?
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone, unfortunately.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I think I have Judy back on. Judy, are you there?
That's me. Welcome back, guys.
Awesome.
Oh,
okay, I'm
going
to go ahead and delete my... I'm going to delete, Carl, and I'll be able to send you messages to tell you who's calling in. So that's how we'll roll from here on. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, listen, Judy, I very much appreciate you hanging with me on that. I also had a guest on earlier who just, was doing a wonderful job. His name is Joe Gilbert. Maybe we'll get him up in a little few more minutes to finish his interview. But I'm glad you checked in. There's a lot of good things you and I have to talk about. And I'm going to let you, just get in there because I know some things you want to share with us. So, Judy Pepinella, what do you got for me today?
Oh, some insanity. And what else is new? It's New York State. I do hope that Joe Gilbert just come back on. He had brought up a very interesting concept regarding Zuccotti Park. I was talking about it, and then the whole system went dead. Gotta love computers, by the way. We love them and we hate them. It's a difficult relationship.
Well, let me stop you for a minute. Let me tell you what happened there. So you get some kind of everybody can get a grip on what happened. For some reason, the whole web page went down. With the radio station went down for a moment. Then when it came back up again, I was unable to talk because I had another host on, which was Joe Gilbert. He was hosting with me, so I couldn't log back in. It only allows one host. So I'm over here frantically trying to figure out how to make it work, and I'm new at this. And so I ended the show thinking I was going to end it and then restart another one. And, boy, that made everything go crazy. I couldn't even hear you and Raquel. You guys were on and talking. If I'd known you guys were talking, I'd let you guys go at it and just walked away because, you guys had it all down. So very sorry about hanging up on you. Very sorry about interrupting it. I very much appreciate you coming back with us and sharing what you have today. So take it from there, Judy.
If that's the biggest problem of our life, I think I can deal with it. I think we can all deal with it. This is still
appreciate
New York.
It.
Let me tell you, that's the biggest problem. I'm as happy as could be.
Unfortunately, it's not. As you heard Joe tell us, it's not the biggest problem. So go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that and appreciated everything he was talking about. Now,
right.
If he gets back on, I'd like to just run through a question, give him a little funny story about Zuccotti Park, what he talked about earlier. But I want to give an update on what's going on with the Force Farm, the property in Otsego County. I'd spoken a little about it last week. And had to be a tad vague because it was still in litigation. Now, for those that aren't aware of what's going on, in a simple nutshell, Otsego County is using illegal foreclosure methods and very aggressive foreclosure methods, predominantly on seniors, veterans, and sick people. And it seems kind of sort of that... any of you from outside of the area, not an upstater, they kind of like want to shoo you out a little more, but that I can't really prove. But there, on January 26th, the Supreme Court of New York State denied the Article 78 lawsuit that Robert and Donna Force put forth regarding their 111-acre farm in Gilbertsville, New York. And the reason is, Judge Burns stated, the reason for the denial was the lawsuit was not filed, quote, on time or within the time limit, quote, after the appellate court decision. Judge Burns also did not find any merit with the arguments related to Bob's military service as supported by military law. The reason this is the sad part. Okay, the county comes in and illegally forecloses property in 51 days from the date of the tax payment, and immediately have it on the auction block. It never was on the paper. It was never on the list, the auction list, as an item for sale, but it was sold, quote-unquote, at the auction. So it was sold we suspect it was sold just before the auction to somebody, presumably a friend. So there's a lot of shady dealings going on here. But the reason for the Article 78 was to provide Otsego County Treasurer Dan Crowell and Otsego County a chance to back out of this illegal land seizure with face and dignity. However,
what do you think is going to happen with that? Do you think it's going to happen or no?
Well, there's a lot going to happen. Basically, the county lawyer, Ellen Kokomo, and Judge Burns ignored all the evidence provided, and additionally, they broke their own county laws and resolutions and subsequently should lose their jobs and be disbarred. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. They broke the laws, but they literally broke legal stature and laws. The fact that Judge Burns and Ellen Kokomo applied incorrect legal status with regard to Bob's military duty and obligations further proves they're clueless to the letter of the law. And that, just so you understand what I'm referring to, it's the Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act. It mandates the courts need to take into consideration if a person is active duty in the reserves or National Guardsman, which is what Bob is.
And so you're saying they disregarded that law, Judy? They disregarded consideration?
They blew it off. My dear man, they blew it off. They disregarded it. And they didn't care. They ignored it. The forces and Donna Force's rights were denied and ignored. And here's what's interesting. The county treasurer, Dan Crowell, is a captain in the Army Reserves. You think he'd know the laws, the military laws?
I would assume that that's his mandate.
Kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah.
Well, now that sounds like horrible news. You know, they lost the Article 78. Here's the good thing. The county assumes that the forces were going to walk away and say, oh, I can't deal with it. It's an expensive endeavor. That we're going to walk away. We're going to give up. They made a mistake. Now the forces are taking Otsego County, the county treasurer, Dan Crowell, and Otsego County to federal court. This is the first time in history anyone's taken this county to federal court.
Who's the parties that are taking them to federal court, Judy?
Robert and Donna Force. Bob and Donna Force. They're the original property owners that had their property taken away. Here's the neat thing. Judge Burns, Ellen Kokomo, and Dan Crowell have a kangaroo court system going on in Otsego County. And they've openly bragged in the Oneonta Daily Star on several occasions that they've never lost a case, a foreclosure case.
Well, that's good news.
They're proud that they take properties away. What they don't have control over, and what they're missing, is they have zero control in federal court. It's a whole different set of mandates, and they are just going to be just another bunch of peanuts in the peanut dish. And they're
Is there punitive damages here too, Judy? Let me just stop you for a minute. It seems like there should be. It seems like there may be punitive damages here, because if you're, you know, if you are being obtuse and ignoring known federal law, if you're, you know, they may be entitled to, you know, big money.
They own 111 acres in three separate parcels.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of punitive issues. You got to bear in mind, one of the parcels, they had a rental property, and for the last 2 years, they've lost the monies on the rental property. Right. Of the 111 acres, there's three separate parcels. The county, in their stupidity, only sold parcels, and they left approximately a quarter acre floating in the abyss. Okay? Uh-huh. And the guy they sold it to broke into the property, has gutted the house, gutted the trailer, thrown out their property. He never contacted the forces And once the deed was transferred in his name, he has legal right and legal requirement to contact the forces and say you're being evicted, you have 60 days or 30 days, whatever the days are. What he did was the Friday the decision was passed at the town board meeting, he walked over to the property or drove over to the property, cut the lock on the gate before the deed was even transferred into his name. It was still in the county's name. Went in there and spent the weekend gutting the place. There is a lot of rotten eggs going on over here. There's a lot of stuff going on.
So that's a case that's going on, and we're gonna keep following that.
Yeah,
and hopefully these people are
gonna
be okay. What I'm concerned now is that there's a huge liability that this county is creating for the taxpayers, you know, by flaunting the law. And there should be. You're right. What you said earlier is true. You know, heads need to roll over this because you know, they're creating a liability that's just gigantic. Not to mention the displacement of people who, you know, obviously shouldn't have been displaced. So,
well, just recently, there was an article that in the, I think it's All at Stego or Oneonta Star, I'm not sure which one it was, about the problem of homeless. They have this large amount of homeless people roaming around the county. Now, there are two people that are living in county shelters that their properties were foreclosed on.
How many else are like that, Judy? Who knows, right? I mean, that could be. So they're exasperating the problem while they're complaining about this. You know, could create the problem and only to solve it. That's their motive operandi. There were some other things you wanted to discuss today. Were you done with that thing there?
This is all about Otsego County. There's we're doing a benefit for another lady, another property in Mount Vision. The woman's name is Sally Ogden.
How can we support the benefit, Judy?
This is to benefit Sally, to help
now,
Sally.
How can we support it? How can we help?
Well, I'll give you a quick summary. She had she's a stage four breast cancer survivor. Her husband walked out when he found out about it. She lost her insurance, and for a sum total of $7,000, they're going to take her house. She asked the county, you know, I've fought breast cancer. I'm clear. I'm in remission. I'd like to make payments. They said, nope, you have till March 30th, 2016 to pay the bill. So they're going to create another homeless person to
right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's much cheaper to help her out with her, you know, with her issues. She probably has them based on the fact that she couldn't work while she was getting cancer treatment. Is that something like what was going on?
Stage four is an aggressive point. Is a very aggressive point with any cancer, and she was not doing well.
Right, of course not. It's something remarkable people don't think about. So there's nothing in place, you know, if you're a person, pays your mortgage, pays your taxes, and then you get medically, some catastrophe hits you, you know, and you fall behind a little bit on these things, they just take it. They just add insult to injury and destroy you. So what are you guys doing to help her out? What is it? You said
to help her out on Saturday, February 27th at the Harwick Veterans Club, of course, Harwick, New York. There's going to be a benefit buffet dinner. The event will begin at 4:00. There's going to be a Chinese auction, so everyone's going to be able to go through. If I were to go through the list of all the businesses that are donating to help in the way of food, I'd have you so hungry you'd start chewing on your arm. And the gift certificates, I'm serious. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different gift certificates that the community's putting forth. Women from the different veterans groups have put forth money. People are just, the outpouring of the community helps reinforce the reason I know why we do what we do. And that there are good people out there. But the event will begin at 4 p.m. The buffet dinner will start at 5. And a band called the Roundhouse Rockers will take the stage at 6:30 to 9:30.
The Roundhouse Rockers. That sounds awesome.
Well,
do they do?
I don't know the band. I know nothing about them. But I know I'm coming up, and I'm going to be posting this everywhere. It's going to be a Facebook event. I'm going to be asking anyone in the area to come in. It's a minimum donation.
Well, we're catching on Facebook. Is there a Facebook Well, your name is Judy Pepinella, so I don't know if they know you or not. Folks don't know Judy. If you don't know Judy, you're probably not on social media at all, or you're probably not active anywhere south of the border down here. So how can they find this on the Internet, or what can we do to reach out to you? How can you connect with listeners on this?
I'm going to be putting on my Facebook page. I'm going to be putting up an event.
Going to
be on one of three different ways. It's going to be posted on Save the Forest Farm, which is a Facebook page called Save the Forest Farm.
Okay.
It's going to be on my page, Judy Pepinella.
It'll be on my page, too. I'll share it. You'll put it on my page. I'll share it, too.
I was going to say, I know it's going to end up on your page and a lot of other pages. And it's going to be a separate event, an actual Facebook event. It's also being put up in the Penny Savers. Radio stations are talking about it.
Oh, fantastic.
There's a couple of stations in the area that are doing free radio ads on it. But it's a minimum of $10 to enter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you know, there will be a Chinese auction, so the statement is bring a few extra bucks for that. There is a cash bar, but it's a minimum of $10 to enter. We're not talking a lot of money. But,
well, I mean, I'd like to get 1,000 people there and close it down for you and just shut it out. I'd like to know how we can share it, where we're going to share it. I want to. Can you mind if I spell your name out on the air, Judy?
Go right ahead.
Judy is J-U-D-Y, Judy Pepinella. P-E-P-E-N-E-L-L-A. Judy Pepinella, P-E-P-E-N-E-L-L-A. She's on Facebook under Judy Pepinella. You know, my name is Carl Gottstein. You can find me on Facebook because she's one of my friends. If you're a Facebook friend, look for Judy. Just search Judy and my friends. But, you know, we got to get this done. Whenever, you know, one of the great things about communications is that if enough people hear, you know, enough good people hear about something like this, you know, this is not a big lift. You know, many hands make this very light. You know, if we all threw in $10, it's just nothing. It's not a big deal. But it makes such a big difference in somebody's life. And that's what you do, Judy. You make a difference in people's lives so often. I want you to hang on a second. I want to bring up Joe Gilbert, well, you know, while you're with me. Do you mind sitting on the side with me and talking to Joe for a minute?
Go right ahead, please.
All right, Judy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Joe, you in there?
Yes, I'm here, Carl. How are you?
Joe Gilbert, I'm sitting here with Judy Pepinella. You're on the side with us. I'd like to thank you for hanging tough. I know we cut you off there rather brutally. Judy had some questions I think she wanted to ask you, but before we get to that, can you please tell me again the name of your book and how do we buy it, Joe?
Of Faith and Freedom, and it's on Amazon. You can either do a search by my name, Joe Gilbert, or by the book title.
Okay, so Of Faith and Freedom,
mm-hmm.
or the name, is it Joseph Gilbert, your whole name, Joseph?
Oh. Joe.
So J-O-E, Joe Gilbert?
Yes.
Joe Gilbert, he wrote a book, and you should read it. He's a retired Army intelligence specialist. He's a fascinating friend. He's a friend of mine. He's nothing but integrity. This guy tells the truth from top to bottom all day long. Small businessman up where he lives. He's got a little wine. I think it's a wine store, right? Wine and spirits. You know, it's a lovely little store here. Good things about it. I'd like you to stay with us for a minute, Joe. Judy Pepinella is an activist from Southern New York. You probably know her as a Facebook friend, too. Judy, this is Joe. Joe, Judy, how you doing, guys? Judy, you have some questions for Joe, you said.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We got kind of cut off, which was not a problem. As I said earlier, I found it interesting when you made the remark about how the troops were in the tents and the socialist principle, the troops are in the tents and the officers or the elitists are in the hotels. Back in 2011, working families had put up on Craigslist a set of jobs where they were looking for people to be supervisors on the ground at Zuccotti Park. The salary was $350 to $650 a week, depending upon experience and time with them. But for $350, you could have gotten a job. And me being me, Carl is going to start laughing, I applied for it.
Uh-huh.
And I called up and I said, I'm an activist out on Long Island. I do not have young children. I have no problem camping out in the park. I have my own camping equipment, and I do. I've got my own pop-up tent and all the gear you need. And I said, I would be honored to have an opportunity to do this. Of course, there's ulterior motives in my brain. I called in, I spoke with these people, they got back to me, I sent a resume in, they got back to me, and I got up to the final interview. They wanted me to come into the city for an interview.
Okay.
And the only reason I didn't was because my kids turned to me and said, "Mom, you've always said to be honest." And I looked at them and I contacted Working Families and I said to them, "I'm not going to be able to come in for that interview. Family obligations have taken place and I'm not able to do that." But I was going in under my maiden name, not under Judy Pepinella, because if they were to Google me, dag, they would have found me immediately. And
right.
I smiled, but I was going to have a job, $350 a week, 4 days on the ground.
Judy, is there a question in there somewhere?
My point is...
Let me first give you a big up twinkles for your honesty, if you remember how they did the up twinkles and down twinkles, the vote.
Judy
yes,
hasn't had up twinkles.
But
Judy, is there a question there for Joe?
No, it wasn't really a question. It was an actual fact. He was so spot on with what he was saying.
Oh,
and
yes.
They wanted to pay people. Working Families wanted people on the ground to supervise and monitor the actions that were going on. That's what my
right.
job would have been.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the definition of AstroTurf, what they were doing there. And, you know, that's the reason why they came out with a word to try to distract us. It's amazing what goes on. Joe, I don't want to end the interview with you without asking you if there's anything else, you know, that today, well, as you're releasing this book the last couple of days, is there anything you think that you may have, you wish you had said? Or is there something else you'd like to include, an addendum, an afterwritten, a final thought on what's going on with this stuff?
Other than that, objectivity is gone now. It's gone from education, it's gone from our teachings, it's gone from media. It's that everything that is good, right, and just is disparaged and condemned, and everything that is evil or wrong is promoted. And that also comes from removing our spirituality from us, because you have then removed an objective right and an objective evil and an objective good. And so that's where we have to start. We have to start and reinstate that in each of us first. And then we and our children can look at the world with truth and say, you know, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to believe that just because I'm told, you know, to follow this agenda.
Amen. You know, I can say this, Joe. You know, we were warned. You know, the deceiver would come. We would know them by their fruit and you know them by their fruit. And the fruit here is more sadness, more poverty, more hate, more despair. The human spirit is crushed. It is not, and that's my true disagreement with Marxism and this political correctness is the way it squashes the human spirit, the way it denies the human spirit. I think the attack, if you want to get concise, is specifically on the human spirit. It is good against evil, in my humble opinion, and that's what we're up against. Simple as that. I know it sounds, you know, simple.
If you have no intrinsic value, if you have no intrinsic worth that can be judged by an objective good and evil, it's way easier, morally or immorally, to push you into the boxcar.
Absolutely. It's about taking the Overton window and adjusting it down all the way down to where our value is next to nothing. You know,
right.
from the ultimate value of being the ultimate expression, you know, the one with dominion over creation created by the Lord, from the top of the food chain down to being, you know, we're all equal, kumbaya, including the trees and the plants and the earth, and our value just keeps getting diminished and diminished and diminished and diminished until the government's value can be seen as greater than our own and greater than our spirits. And it really is, because this grand experiment was about that. You know, this grand experiment was about empowering the human spirit and celebrating
right.
it. And like you said, it's not just it's the mockery. You know, they mock what is good, and they uplift and spirit and they, you know, support what is evil. It's the mockery.
Right.
You will see. You always know them. You see somebody good and decent, and really trying. They get mocked. You know, you're fodder for a joke. Because it's the one that's not trying so hard. He's the smart one. Look what he's getting, the same as you, because you're both the same. When I went to my kids went to school real quick. My kids went to school. There was a career day for the both of them. Both my kids are overachievers. Both straight A's. Both top of their class. They work hard all day. They get up, do homework. They do because they want to be successful. And now they're out of school and they've done very well for themselves. They're both doing very well. But I remember a day both of them came home and both of them had almost the same exact statement to me. 2 years apart. Daughter first, then the son. There's something called career day, and you're in public school, and you go down through career day and all the desks. They talk to you about all the careers. And it's all about making about $30,000 a year. And if you want to make $30,000 for a year, you're told that you're just being selfish. You don't really need more than that. You don't need a job for more than that. So in other words, and to be excellent, to reach for things where excellence is involved, where you're going to get a degree in engineering or a degree in architecture or something where excellence is involved, you need to be reaching for more than that $30,000 mark. And they just totally they discourage that in the public schools. So I found that to be very telling when they're not saying be all you can be, you can be everything you can, and they're saying, well, this is the limit you should shoot at, and it's right above poverty, and that's about what you should have. And this was their common expression. They would all say the same things. Both my kids came home and said, I can't believe all these people are telling us, that $30,000 is what we should aim at. And, I want to be an engineer. I want to be an architect. My daughter's, going to be an architect. My son is, he's got his engineering degree. So, and both of them make well more than $30,000. And they would never be settled for that. But I think that has to do with our household. My wife and I, we are striving to do the best we can. We're not striving to hit some small, mediocre mark where that's it. And I know, Joe, you're the same way. And I know Judy's the same way. Both of you guys are, you're entrepreneurial and you're doing your very best. What I want to know is from you, Joe, before you go, do you think that spirit is there any room for that anymore in America? Is that not part of what we have to do is light that entrepreneurial spirit back on fire? Because I think part of the problem is that that's been snuffed out. With the big thing is that it goes on the candle, it's out where they snuff it out, I don't think they want entrepreneurial spirits in America anymore. Oh, like on the bottom of the food chain.
No. Well, you didn't build that.
No, you didn't build that. Remarkable.
But the task falls on each of us. You have to be the example. If you want, I always say, as far as my kids go, that I have to be the man that I want my son to become.
And right.
So that's where it starts. It starts with each of us.
Well, before let me stop you again. Before you go, Tom Cavanaugh, are you on the line on there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. You're here in this discussion. What do you think of this guy?
He's right in the mark. I think he's right in the mark. Excellent conversation. And what you were just talking about, they don't want anybody to succeed anymore. They just want us to be sheep. And the school system is the biggest thing right now. Everyone has to get an award. Everyone has to get a passing grade to learn how to lose. To learn how to win.
Yes, he will fail. So, before we go on much further, Joe, what's the name of your book again? I'm not sure if Tom heard the name of the book. You just released it recently. Go ahead.
It is Of Faith and Freedom.
Of Faith and Freedom. But there was a second part. What was the second sentence? I have it in front of me here somewhere.
How cultural Marxism and political correctness hijacked America and how to take it back.
Well, I think that's a very uplifting title. I think that everybody in this call right now, and I believe Judy's still in there, I think we all agree with you and what you're saying, and I think it's the reason why we actually are resisting. I think this is what we all sense. I think I can get a name in on this. Give me a second. We all sense there is an authoritarian Marxist element in this country, and it's growing larger and larger every year, and it's with the personification of Barack Obama, it has reached its zenith. And I think that you now have Barry Sanders, who this is not hidden anymore. It's out. It's loud. It's in the open. I'm a socialist. I'm going to communize your education, everything else, the different things you're talking about. I think it's tapped into the vein that they've been trying to do for a couple of generations. They've set us up for this Barry Sanders event over generations, and I think it's very frightening to me. If we don't win this time, and those people win. And they get to install Supreme Court judges and continue with this poverty cycle that we're doing. I don't see America surviving 8 more years of it, not as we are today. I just don't see it. Again, I want to thank you for coming on with us, Joe. I know you have, I don't want to keep you on too much longer. I've had you for about over an hour or so. But you're welcome to stand by and hang in with everybody else. there were some things you came out and talked about today. Judy's with us. She's going to stay with us. We're trying a new format where the where we're having folks come on and stay with us on the side. So if anybody wants to chirp in at any time, Joe, you want to say speak up in there, or Judy, you want to speak up, you know, feel free to jump in there. Tom, what is it you want to talk about today?
Well, you know, you were talking about what happened at Tigger County and everything. Let's go to Albany County. Let's look at how they try to ramrod a $108 million new school, to rebuild a school down there. Doors were locked, not enough ballots for the people that wanted to vote. I mean, and they want to rush it through and say it's over. This is Marxist. This is Leninist. This is New World Order. They're just trying to roll over everybody. And I think they have 3 weeks to someone to actually file a grievance, and they would have to re-vote. I'm sure something's going to happen. I've heard today that there's a couple of lawyers already doing this. But this is just how they think we are stupid. And it irates everybody because we're not stupid, but they think we are. And it's time that people stand up and have a backbone like you have, Judy has, like I have. People have to get up and stand up. They can't be sitting on the sideline no more. They have to go to reality TV shows. They complain about everything, but they don't do nothing about it.
Well, let me stop you for a minute. What Tom is talking about is $180 million that was procured basically through an election that was the second election the school board held in the city of Albany in order to do some quote-unquote repairs to the Albany High School. Now, you know, a million here, a million there, 10 million there, 10 million here, adds up to $180 million, $2, a lot of money, $180 million. So many people out were out to vote yesterday to reject this. They were out before work, they were out at lunchtime, they were out after work. Well, unfortunately, before work, many of the machines weren't open like they were supposed to. During lunchtime, there was many machines that were closed down. There was issues, quote-unquote, throughout the city. And then after work, ready for this, they ran out of ballots. Ready? They ran out of ballots. So therefore, they said to you, just fold it up, stick it in the machine, don't worry about it. So these are die-bulb machines. They only count your vote, you know, if they're digitally scanned. You can't fold it in half, stick it in the machine, don't worry about it. It doesn't work. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they ended it up, and naturally, what do you know, by a couple of hundred, the slimmest of margins, a couple of hundred votes, the school board who held the election, who hosted the election, who controlled the election, who electioneered the entire time by having signs up that said vote yes everywhere, they managed to squeak out a victory, but half the city is up in arms about it because they're all calling in radio shows. They're all calling to television stations. They're all saying, everybody we know voted no on this. How could it possibly pass? Well, you know, I think we need to face it. I think we need to face that sometimes some of these, you know, keepers of elections are less than honest. They're not giving us a fair return. You know, you keep hearing it over and over again, they stole the election, they stole the election. How many elections do they have to steal before we start saying no, start demanding recounts? Well, in the city of Albany, the county executive has asked now for a recount. The county, I think it was its comptroller, the county comptroller, Michael Connors, has asked for a recount. So, you know, they're asking for another election. They're asking, not another, a recount, they're asking for another election because they feel the first two, or the second one was basically illegal. The first one was legal, and the school board lost that one. The people said, no $180 million for you. And then the second one, the school board stole it. And that's the word in the street. They stole it. Straight up, they stole it. So let me ask you a question, Tom. Let me get back to you. What hope can a person have for fairness in an honest election when the person who has everything to gain is the one who actually handles the election? That would be like saying, okay, Hillary, you're in charge of the presidential election. I'm sure it'll be fair in the primary, and I'm sure it'll be fair in the general election. We'll just go ahead and trust you with that one. Because that's what we're doing here. We are trusting the school boards to run their own elections, where they basically get to hire whoever they want. They get to have more money than God. I shouldn't say that word, but, you know, more money than the regular the city or the county. We actually have higher city budgets, or school board budgets in Albany, than we have city budgets. And our city budgets are tremendous as well. They're almost in the same range. So, Tom, do you think we're going to get fair outcomes from any election, from anyone who's in charge of the election who also has something to gain from the election? Go ahead, Tom, take it away.
Yeah, no, we definitely can. So, and again, that's the problem. People don't get involved. And The reason why is, which I mentioned last week, is that they make it so disgusting. They make politics so disgusting. And believe it or not, school board elections are politics, plain and simple. They make
right.
it so disgusting, no one wants to get involved. That's why turnout is so bad in not only our state, but nationwide, because it's so disgusting. They think there's nothing they can do. But that is the wrong thing to do. You can. You have to get involved. Once you get involved, then you can do something. That's what it comes down to, plain and simple.
Let me stop you there for 1 minute, Tom, because you're saying turnout is down. Historically, in recent elections, it has been down, but I got to tell you, I know you work about 900 hours a week, so you're probably not aware of this, but these last elections, the primary elections we're just experiencing in Iowa and in New Hampshire and this election in the city, we're talking historically high turnouts. I mean, the turnouts, people are really pissed and they're rejecting the establishment. And the turnouts are like people that didn't vote before, people that haven't voted in years. You should see the lines. You're probably not, you know, because I know you work all hours of the day. You're like one of these guys that works around the clock. So, you know, I know you don't watch regular, you don't pay attention to all the nonsense, different news shows. You're busy, you know, getting, you know, on the internet if you have to, but you're working all the time. But I got to tell you, turnout is hugely up right now. It's everywhere. It's up. And it's not up for the establishment. It's up for the anti-establishment. And in fact, they're saying over and over again, well, if turnout is big, we're going to lose. Yeah, because if turnout's big, the numbers work out. And those people that are statistically in the lead, those statistics come closer to reality. So in other words, if you have an election and the polls say Trump is 30%, everybody else is 15% or less, that might not work out if you have a very low turnout. If you have a very low turnout, it could be Trump loses. But if you have an election where a huge turnout is, it's going to work out to be almost the exact same numbers, 30 for Trump, 15 or less for everybody else. Same thing on the other side. Those polls work if you have a high enough turnout, and they become very accurate. Low turnout, not so much. So what the establishment does is they don't care what the poll is because they intend to repress the vote. They either don't market it, they don't advertise it, or if they have to, they go right out and just the machine doesn't work, or we're out of paper, or, you know, sorry, you know, put your vote in absentee, or sorry, you're not registered. They go through all. The establishment will do any kind of throw you can imagine to protect itself. Trudy, do you have that kind of experience down where you are where there's all kinds of irregularities that happen that shouldn't, that in the case where you have, like, regular whatever budget you need to make it work, the people want an honest election. Do you have trouble with elections where you are, too?
Yes.
What kind of problems
yes.
do you have? Yes, yes. Okay.
Town of Huntington, one of our very diligent and hardworking patriots, went through the rosters and found a few dead people were voting. In addition to a few dead people voting, only a few of the dead people were voting, but there were a ton of dead people still on the rosters because they had not been cleaned off. In CD1, which is the congressional district that goes all the way out both points of Long Island, we have a lot of people that live in the city and have properties out here. And they're every congressional race, there's dual voting. They vote in New York City, they vote in CD1. So they vote in the New York address and their Southampton address or their East Hampton address. Well, they pay taxes out there, so they do that also. And they get away with it. The only way, and this is something that I'm on the top of the mountain down here screaming about, everyone must become a poll watcher and have the tenacity and willingness to turn around when somebody goes and signs, and I've seen them. I've seen the signatures where it says Jane Doe, and the guy that signed under Jane Doe is Joe Doe. You have to turn around and say, excuse me, but you don't look like Jane Doe. What's your address? And put your hand over the thing and question it. But nobody's willing to ruffle the feathers.
I can tell you what, you know, you're really saying a mouthful. I don't want to steal it from you, but I want to reiterate what you're saying. You know, they really can't steal the elections if we show up.
Yes.
If we show up, if we do our due diligence, if we remain strong between us and we're watching what's going on and we're reporting to each other, with the technology we have today, with the handheld video cameras in everybody's pocket we got today, you know, if we just exercise our franchise, if we simply become poll watchers, become committee people. I know you're a committee person. I'm a past. I used to be the chairman of my city in Rensselaer. I mean, a Republican chairman here. So I mean, I'm a past chairman. I was a committeeman. You know, so I mean, I encourage people to do that, to get involved and to serve and protect. Because if you don't, they will steal it. Now let me just say this too, real quick.
Great.
Yeah. In my county, we have a commissioner of elections, a Republican named Larry Bugbee. Larry is very active in making sure that people who are not breathing and respirating are not voting, because Larry knows that it's unfortunate, but it just seems like, you know, these people if you leave them on the polls, they will vote. It'll happen. All right. We don't know how it always happens. We don't always catch people in the act, but it happens. If we do catch them in the act, they end up going to jail in Rensselaer County. It's happened here where we've caught them, all right? People have to be aware, you know, if it's not nailed down, they're going to steal it, all right? Assume the other guy is cheating. Assume the other guy is going to, because they will, for instance, this party of power, if you win by like 10%, that's not enough. They'll steal that much from you,
mm-hmm.
all right? So if you would have inherently won by 10%, it's not enough. You got to go out and win by more than that, or you have to be, you have to have poll watchers everywhere. You have to have a lawyer or two working for you. You know, you have to be part of your own machine, your own fiefdom, I guess you want to say. You have to have a large extended family. You know, you have to be able to hold it down yourself. If you are counting on the party to support you, you better be one of theirs. If you're not one of theirs and you have primaried your way in, do not expect the party to have your back. First of all, they're not going to have your back. Second of all, they're likely to be supporting your opponent, even if he's a Democrat, even if he's, and you're a Republican and it's your party. That's what we go through in New York, all right? So we need more Judys of the world elected. So we know Judy does not support Democrats when she's a Republican committee person. She doesn't do it. She just doesn't do it. You don't go out petitioning for Democrats, do you, Judy, when you're in your district, your committee district?
I have to admit openly, I have been put on report as a elected committeeman because I said I would not ask for people to sign specific petitions because they were cross-endorsed by Democrats.
I love that. No,
and
beautiful.
I got a lot of heck for that.
Well, you're the real thing. You want your representatives to be, you want the people that you're representing and you're talking to not be flim-flammed, and you're not going to be part of the flim-flam. And that's why I love and respect you so much, Judy. I appreciate what you just
said. Thank you.
I also know, though, however, if you and I were to identify a situation where perhaps we had two Democrats running and one was a conservative Democrat and one was a crazy liberal Democrat, and that was the only choice we had because our party didn't put anybody up, either one of us would run or we would make sure that we would hope to make sure the conservative Democrat would win, you know? So,
yes.
we've both been, you know, if a person's pro-life and a person's pro-2A and a person's pro-small government and a person's small, you know, all about the things we're about, we can get over the other stuff. That's something else you and I get in trouble for.
Oh, I've gotten a little sass for that too. I supported an extremely fiscally conservative small government, two different fiscally conservative small government Democrats against Republicans, and I got sass beyond reality. And you know what?
It wouldn't surprise me if your friends won.
One of them did.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will say usually the people that I notice that you're supporting are always you know, right wing, right of center conservative Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen you support one or two right of center conservative Democrats. So at least you're consistent with the right of center conservative part. I like that about you too. Right. So we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. What's going on down there with candidates? There was something we talked about last week. I thought you want to look at. I don't know if it's too soon yet or if there was anything else down there you want to talk about
regarding the Skelos replacement.
Yes.
Dean Skelos replacement.
Yes.
Right now, this is Long Island. I say this with all love and respect to my fellow Long Island people. I'm running around in a T-shirt, jeans, and a zipper hoodie. Everyone else is in 47 layers of coats and gloves. Uh-huh. They look like Nanook of the North. Okay, we've had a little bit of snow and people freaked out. Okay, it's been a little chilly. Today it's chilly. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's chilly down here right now. So nobody's really been jumping around outside to get stuff. Yeah, it's 23 degrees. No, I'm sorry, it's 18 degrees right now. So it's a little chilly outside. I guess I'd have to put a coat on. But the point is, I have not gotten any answers regarding the other candidate. But there are two people that have gotten back. Oh, for the life of me, I can't remember the gentleman's name. I want to say Mitchell, but I have to actually go on my computer to get his name. But the point is, I don't have any information on him. I do know that the debate is going to, here we go, I just opened it up. I'm still waiting to get info on him. His last name is McGrath.
Okay.
To run against Democrat Assemblyman from Long Beach. And I'm sorry, I don't have the names in front of me, and I apologize.
That's okay. While you're looking at that, I wanted to ask you if you thought there might be any chance any of those seats on Long Island will flip this year. And if there's anybody out there you thought that was running for any of these seats, is there any primaries going on? Is there anything like that? Is there any kind of energy, you know, to change anything down there?
Well, Jack Martins, who is a senator, New York State senator, he calls himself a Republican. Again, I just say he calls himself a Republican.
We'll put him in that category loosely.
Yeah, well, he has an R after his name. That's all I can say.
But he eats without the motto and he sleeps with the fishes.
He should be swimming with fishes. No, I'm only joking. Okay. I don't want to see that. The name Pepinella makes people think, no, I'm only joking. I never want to see harm come to somebody, except they lose their office. He is currently interested in running for the congressional seat that Steve Israel has vacated.
Oh, wow.
So that means his Senate seat will be open. Now, with all due respect, the powers that be around him do not want him to do this, but he's like, he's Jack Martin. He doesn't care. So
he's really like that.
Well, he also voted for the SAFE Act, and he really thinks it's a good thing.
Okay. We're going to lose.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that they're going to put up a good candidate for his Senate position.
What I'm asking you is, I hate to put you on the spot, Judy, but I mean, I think we should try to find somebody, you know, from our side. I mean, like, you know, somebody who we trust and we know for years, has been fighting with us for years. Somebody like you, you know, somebody, you know, anytime we have an opening like that, I'd like to see one of us, you know, trying to do a shoestring, grassroots, pull it together, do it. Oh, let me just stop right for 1 second. I just got reminded about something I saw on my screen. I don't know how many of you know, let's see, what's his last name? His name is Russ out there in Buffalo, New York. Russ, what's Russ's last name?
His birthday.
Russ Thompson.
Yep, Russ Thompson.
Russ Thompson's 60 years old today, and I want to wish him a happy birthday before I forget. And Russ Thompson, I think is it T New York? Is it Tom?
T New York, yes, sir.
T New York. Yeah, he's out there. He's a friend of Carl Paladino's. You know, he's supporting Donald Trump. He's working hard on that, and he's got a page out there. I think it's Trump New York, something like that. You know, Tom, is that it, Trump New York? Tom?
Yep.
Tom, what's the name of Russ Thompson? Russ Thompson's page. Is it Trump New York?
New York for Trump.
New York for Trump, right. So, you know, go out there and give New York for Trump a like, you know, just to give old Russ Thompson a happy birthday present. And that'd be nice if everybody does that. I wanted to wish him a happy 60th birthday. Russ is an organizer from Buffalo, New York. Maybe someday he'll hear us in here and he'll want to join us. I'd love to have him be a part of what we do here. So I want to share that. Judy, is there any candidates you can think of on Long Island that that deserve our support, or is there any candidates you think that we should absolutely make sure they understand that we're not pleased with for any reason, other than, of course, the SAFE Act, usual suspects?
The usual suspects who support Common Core or support
right.
the SAFE Act or a whole other
country. Is that right? Are they lined up like that? Is that true?
Well, that's how we look at them.
No, I'm saying, are those Long Island senators also supporting the Common Core?
Well, I have a problem, and I will not be nasty with them. I firmly believe you can discuss and disagree.
Sure.
As long as you stay above the dirt, okay?
Mutual respect. Mutual respect.
I agree to disagree, and
right.
that's how I work it. But John Flanagan, in my opinion, has not been very supportive of the Common Core movement or the Stop Common Core movement.
Okay. Which
and
is it,
that bothers me.
Judy, are you saying he's not standing up with the folks that want to keep, you know, the proper education, the people that are trying to stop this nonsense, this Common Core? He's not doing enough with us, or is he actually actively fighting to protect Common Core? Is it as bad as that, or is he just
I don't
not
think
standing
he's
up?
Actively supporting it.
Okay.
Okay. But it's kind of like the words fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm uncomfortable with him.
I love
Al Graff, Dean Murray. These are two assemblymen in my area. I joke with people.
Oh, yeah, Dean Murray. I like Dean. Both of those people are Facebook friends of mine, and I encourage people to support them both. Al Graff and Dean Murray, good people.
I love Dean Murray. Nice guy.
Great guy.
John, we met him together, didn't we, buddy?
Yes, we did when we did the first walk, the unfunded mandates.
Yep.
Right.
Solid man.
So, yeah.
Solid principles, solid values.
Okay.
The same thing with Al Graff. Another one. You can't shake a stick. The man, he's a former city cop. He can be a little brash, but that's okay. Because he stands
like
up and
brash.
He says,
I like brash a lot.
Amen.
I'm from New York over here. All right? I like brash, all right? Give me some brash.
You're from Long Island. Give me a break.
Give him a break. Hey, Joe, you still in there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Joe, listen, I want to ask you a question. Did you run for, I don't know if you ran for Congress. I think you put your hat in the ring for Congress. When you did that, because I remember saying that, you know, what a remarkable thing it was. And you were just one of these kind of people that I'm talking about, you know, somebody who's, you know, highly qualified, highly independent, you know, a driven, strong person, you know, a perfect candidate. When I heard you were running, I got very excited about it. And then, of course, what happens to guys like you, the same thing happens to guys like me and guys like a lot of people I know, is the system turns around and says, we can't have this guy. He's actually telling the truth. He's actually opening up doors to reality. You know, he's actually busting some of our lies. I actually watched him happen with you, and I could not believe, you know, how rapid it was. I think they truly, truly feared you, Joe. You were one that scared the Jesus out of them. And I wonder if that was from where you sat, you kind of had that feeling too. Or what do you think it was? Why weren't you embraced when you ran for Congress? I hate to ask you that question, but I think it's a good one to ask you. Another one is, will you ever run for anything again? Because, you know, I think your voice is magnificent and it should be heard. So please tell us what you're thinking on those things.
Thank you. And, I had never thought about or gotten involved in politics at all when I decided that I might try a run for Congress. So I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. So I think it is a combination of this organization and exactly what you just said. I was told 15, 16 months before Election Day that they already had their candidate. Thank you very much. And we're going to endorse this candidate. Thank you very much. And when we do endorse this candidate, we expect everyone else to drop out of the race. Thank you very much. And so, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, you know, I got to stop you for a minute because, first of all, I believe you 100%. I believe you're telling an exact truth to the people. I think you're telling truth to masses. I think that it's important that people understand that, and that you think that you know, this is an organic situation where, you know, it just all kind of bubbles up and now we have a candidate. When that happens, it's a case like Joe, that's an organic candidate. When you are told 18 months in advance it's not your turn because there's somebody who, you know, you don't even know or somebody that's in some other office that has not announced and will not announce for a year, that you're not welcomed in the process, that's a closed system. That's an authoritarian system. That's kind of what we see in New York a lot. You're either, it doesn't matter which side you're on. It doesn't matter what party you're in. You're shut out. Now, if you're not shut out, it's because they know that you have the wherewithal and the brains and the ability to put yourself on the ballot with or without them, and you can raise your money with or without them, and you basically become an island unto yourself. There's plenty of great examples for that. You know, Steve McLaughlin's a perfect example of that. He's a guy that's outspoken, and, you know, if you think the Assembly Committee is raising money for him, you're out of your mind. It's just not. Okay, he had to be an island unto himself. First time he lost, he came back, did it again the second time he got in. He's a citizen legislator who speaks up, is not beholden to anybody. But he is the kind of guy that I believe you would be in Congress, Joe. Just somebody out there just telling the truth, believing what you're, and standing tall. And, you know, I really hope that you will continue to, you know, perhaps pursue that because, you know, men like you are not, you know, they're not common. We don't have those kind of guys in office, so we need more like you. So tell me what happened. After you decided, you know, that you weren't going to run anymore, you weren't going to run this year, after it all went away, did you say to yourself, wow, that's the end of that garbage, I'm never doing that again, let me go write a book and, you know, be the superhero stuff I always been doing all my life and own my business and keep blowing up my life with money? Or did you say to yourself, well, I learned a lesson from that, I'm going to get ahead of the curve next time, I know how to do better, and was there anything positive that came out of it that made you think that you could do this again?
Yeah, well, there was, actually, and there was a lot of people who pointed me towards a different office and said, you should run for this. You should have done this instead. Even the party members. And, you know, there were some supporters and there were some great ones, especially around where I'm, my hometown. And they kept saying, well, you know, you should run against this candidate. You should run for this office. And it was all the same. So, you know, I'd consider it. I am considering. I have a Facebook page called the Joe Gilbert Exploratory Committee. I'm quite ready to announce what office or what my decision is yet. That'll come very soon, probably within the next 30 days. But
I don't want to hold you down to this spot. I appreciate what you shared with me just now. A person like you, you gave me the exact answer I expected to hear. To be honest with you, you know how a lawyer doesn't ask a question unless they know the answer. I believe, and not to say I'm an attorney because I'm not, but I have a lot of them in my family. So my thought for you was that you have such a short learning curve that you so quickly do pick up on things, and that once exposed to the public, that you would hear some of the many things that I have heard recently. And, you know, I ran last year. I ran for assembly in my district, in a district I couldn't hope to win. It was like 3-1 Democrat, whatever. It's just ridiculously Democrat, and I'm a Republican. And it's not the first time I've run just to make a point or just to point out some jerk. And the guy I ran against, John McDonald, he's the guy that did the scam with the Medicaid and took a bunch of money home, threw his mother on the bus. Bad guy. Anyway, but what I learned from that by running for that office was a few things. One was, I could put myself on the ballot with only a couple of my friends. I was on the ballot for assembly with only a couple of my friends, about 5 of us in it. The other thing was, while I was out there, I had people in my own hometown, I live in the city of Rensselaer, telling me, why don't you run for mayor of Rensselaer? Why don't you run for councilman from Rensselaer? If you want to run for assembly, that's great. Let us put you in a council seat here first or a mayor seat here first, fix our city, then we'll put you in Congress or wherever you want to go. But why don't you do something here? You know you're brilliant. I don't want to go on now, but I mean, the local people practically carried me around a chair. You know, they want me to run here locally. They don't want me to go for big other offices. So I'm going to do, I'll tell you now, make news in front of everybody. I am going to run for mayor of my city in 2017. And it's only 9,000 people in the city of Rensselaer. So it's a very small little division. I basically can run it out of my, you know, garage. It's not a big effort. And I'm going to run for mayor. And once I've run for mayor, and I also already line up support the police and the fire and, you know, public works. Many people are going to support me for this. So I'm going to win that race. And then I'm going to go on to something larger after a few years of straightening the problems out here. I hope that you will consider doing the same thing. I think that's what we all need to do. I think, Judy, you know, you've won a committee seat. You need to take a council seat. You need to run for something else, the next step up, whatever it is. Tom Cavanaugh, you need to be up there and burn at least wherever you are and take in an office. I think all of us who feel like we do, who want to defeat Marxism and want to give America back to our children, we have to put ourselves in the line, and we have to keep putting ourselves in the line until we win the authority to hand this country over in the conditions that our grandparents handed over to us in. You know, so with that said, my friends, we have about 9 minutes left to wrap this show up. I want to know if any of you have...
Can I in for a minute? I want to just mention something about Joe's book and what you said about Marxism, what's going on. You know, there was a debate going on tonight, correct?
Well, before he gets into that, Joe, why don't you tell us one more time, name of your book and how we can buy it, then you can answer Tom's question.
Certainly. It is the title is Of Faith and Freedom, How Cultural Marxism and Political Correctness Has Hijacked America and How to Take It Back. And it's available both on createspace.com and, of course, amazon.com.
And your name is Joe Gilbert. On Facebook, it's Joseph Gilbert. And you are my Facebook friend, so folks out there are my Facebook friends. They can see Joe through that as well. So go ahead, Joe. Answer his question if you remember what it was.
What was the question?
No, not a question, but his book is so appropriate because Bernie Sanders said tonight during the debate that he wants to make 11 million illegal immigrants citizens, and if Congress doesn't do it, he'll do it by executive order. Just shows you what's going on in this country and how far we've gone left. Mm-hmm. Now, also today, on the Republican side, you had Rubio saying, well, he still might get in because of a broken convention.
Yep.
And they're already starting to get us ready for a broken convention and stealing the election. This is exactly what's going on. So his book is so appropriate as for what's going on right now.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the reason why I had him on the show, Tom. Joe, I think that you you can chime in on this, but I want you to, amen. That's all I want to say. Go ahead, Joe.
No, that's why I felt so compelled to write it. You know, I've been walking around with this, and, you know, I had finished this analysis. And, you know, I was a military intelligence officer for 24 years, and I took the same analytical processes that I was taught to analyze the enemy for my higher commanders, and I applied that to our current political and cultural and social and spiritual situation here in America, and that's what the product of the book is. So that's why I felt so compelled to write it, seeing what's going on right now today. And I felt that I was up against a deadline, that the finish line for the enemy is coming up quick. And it's something that we need to turn or before we cross it.
Well, I got to say, God bless you for writing it. God bless you for your analysis. And thank you for bringing it back to God, because it's where it belongs. I'm looking forward to receiving my signed copy in the mail. I hope you all ordered, you know, from Amazon.com. And one more time, the name of the book, Joe.
Of Faith and Freedom, How Cultural Marxism and Political Correctness Hijacked America, and more importantly, How to Take It Back.
Okay, so, but they only have to know is Of Faith and Freedom, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you go to Amazon, search Of Faith and Freedom, O-F, Faith and Freedom, author Joe Gilbert. You can get yourself a copy of this fascinating tome, and I hope you do so. And I hope to hear again from you, Joe. I would like to invite you to come back anytime and sit with us. I think you're a fascinating individual. I think what you do is amazing. Thank you very much for your lifetime of service to the United States of America, and thank you for going and furthering that service in your civilian work. And I hope America, you know, drinks up what you have to offer, because it's important that we all do. And thank you very, very much for coming on my show tonight.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Okay,
Have
Joe.
A good
Thank
night,
you.
Joe.
Have a good night, Joe. All right, so listen, I would like, you know, Tom and Judy, my good friends from New York State, you are welcome to be regular contributors. I want you to know that. You guys
Thank
do a
you.
Very good job here, and I think everything you have to offer is wonderful and necessary, and gives people a little flavor of what we're going through. And so I hope you'll come back and join us again next Thursday. Both of you, you're welcome back at any time, always. So
hey,
I'm gonna,
Carl,
I'm gonna,
don't
and,
hang up. Hold on a second. Judy,
I'm not going anywhere, Raquel. I was going to bring
Hello,
you in
Raquel.
Last, Raquel.
Oh, that's okay.
Raquel is on the line, folks. Raquel is with us. Raquel, my magnificent program manager. Raquel, I will not hang up. Those are your orders. We have actually 5 more minutes left. I was going to try to finish the show with you, but I wanted to thank my wonderful guests before we did that. So
that's
thanks
fine.
Again, guests. Okay, so thanks
but
again,
But don't
guests,
hang up, because I have something to add. But Judy and Tom cannot hang up. That's the point.
Okay, nobody
don't
hang
up.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm
Go
good.
Ahead, Raquel. Go ahead.
Okay. I want you all to do a big favor for me.
Uh-oh.
At the end of my program on Friday nights, we
Uh-oh.
Sing the national anthem, and we sing it with the West Point Glee Club, which sang the song on Veterans Day several years ago, and I have it on recording, and it's a beautiful version, and it's
sure.
I'm gonna play it in just about a minute, because it takes it's 2 minutes and 31 seconds to end
wonderful.
The program.
So you're gonna carry us out with that wonderful version. I appreciate
yes,
that very much,
but
Michelle.
This is the thing. You all have to sing with me.
Going on mute.
Do you want people to come back
no.
on the show?
Yes. It's okay.
I'm seeing them drop off. My audience is dropping off like flies over here. What are you doing, Raquel? Cue it up.
It
Cue
works.
Up that beautiful song, Raquel. Cue it up for us.
If we do it all together, we'll be just fine. You know? It's a beautiful.
This morning,
you'll love it. You'll love it.
United States
so join me,
Academy
please.
At
okay?
West Point, New York.
Because I sing nice
today,
and loud.
Veterans Day. As the country remembers the countless thousands who sacrificed
great
for
version.
Our freedoms, so many of whom
it,
were schooled
it brings
on
these tears to my eyes. Such a nice.
90 years ago, President
it's a little
Woodrow
fast
Wilson
paced, by the way.
November
I'm
going to
do my Gaga impression.
Celebrating peace,
okay.
hearkening to the end of World War I,
hey, Carl,
drawn to an official close at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the
1918.
A peace ceremony sought after still. So please join us here on SportsCenter as
great,
we begin
great.
A very special
Ready?
Veterans Day.
Color, lock time, hard. Color, ready, halt. Color, present, off.
Oh, say.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. The ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets
were
the bombers singing
air,
gave proof through the night that our flag would
still bear.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner great. I think
you're
all
great,
did a great job. You're all good singers. It was great. And congratulations
you guys,
on your run
hilarious.
For mayor. I'm going to support you, Carl. That was that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well,
one
that's
in the
once in a while. It was wonderful seeing the national anthem. Okay. Tom Cavanaugh, you were in there. I can hear you. And Judy Pepinello, a little whisper, a little mouse song. That's good.
Little mouse song in the background. I've got no squeak. I've got squeak okay. going on down here. This is the best I have.
Well, I love you guys very
right.
much. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. And let's see, we're going to take it out with, where's my song? Here we go. Take it on out. Where is it?
Some
here we
folks
go.
Like to get away. Take a holiday.
I love you, Mark.
From the neighborhood.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, guys.
Have a flight
and to Miami. I love New York. Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Good night. God bless.
On the Hudson River line, I'm in New York state of mind.